Lots of wildlife rehabilitation projects are going on around the region at any given time. Maybe you heard the segment a few weeks ago about blowing up a small dam in western Tehama County to allow fish passage. We won't be talking about explosives today, at least I don't think so. But we will talk about fish habitat restoration along the Rogue River and the vision of a man who could see current events decades ago. His name was Bob Mace, and he loved the idea of watchable wildlife. So let's hear about him and what's happening along the Rogue. Two guests, Linda Marr is with the Rogue Fly Fishers, and she is also Bob Mace's daughter. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you.
Good to have you in the exchange today. Russ Stauff is with us as well from Oregon Fish and Wildlife, ODFW. He's the Rogue Watershed Manager. Russ, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
So I guess we should start at Bob Mace and tell us a bit about his dedication. He worked for ODFW, your father, and it sounds like his dedication to his work was legendary, Linda.
Yes, my dad was a career ODFW employee, and he actually coined the term watchable wildlife to describe the animals that we do not hunt or fish, but we should get out of our houses and off the sofa and watch and learn about. And so he really believed that future generations needed to have an opportunity to do this. And that was his plan before he died.
When we talk about the critters that we don't hunt or fish, then what are the ones that he meant?
Well, anything. Raccoons.
The ones that aren't good eating.
Right. Just, you know, any animals that we should, you know, just enjoy the beauty of.
And Russ, I understand that Bob, did you ever work with him? I'm curious to know if anybody still at ODFW worked with Bob Mace.
I didn't work directly with Bob Mace. I had the good fortune to meet Bob and Phyllis when I moved to the Rogue here in 2002 and into the Upper Rogue. But we have a few employees left that knew Bob before he retired in the late 70s. And he has quite a legacy with Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and with wildlife conservationists in general throughout the nation, a very well-respected legacy.
He was a deputy director of the whole department or something?
Bob was a career wildlife biologist with the agency, and he attained the position of deputy director for field operations, and it was in that position when he coined the phrase watchable wildlife in our headquarters. And I think he had a frustration with, we've often called it non-game, you know, to describe something that wasn't managed for consumptive purposes. And of course, that's got not the best connotation in terms of something that is so valuable to the public and to Oregonians. And today we know that if you look at it, the economic value of activities surrounding fish and wildlife, wildlife viewing is by far the greatest economic activity. So bird watching, nature trips, you know, salmon watch activities these days. We even have fish involved. But that was what I think Bob understood very well. Bob and his wife Phyllis both understood that was sort of a future for us and something that we needed to understand and embrace. And the term watchable wildlife has been embraced by many other state agencies, many organizations worldwide.
Interesting that you bring up the term non-game because it reminds me that attitudes have obviously changed over recent decades. It was only in the last couple of years we saw the California Department of Fish and Game finally change to the Oregon designation of long ago, which is fish and wildlife. So instead of thinking about things that you shoot, catch, eat, or otherwise make use of, things that can actually just stay wild and still be appreciated.
Absolutely. That's a huge value to the public, of course, and to all of us, and a real challenge for us to figure out how to manage. You know, and one of those issues is funding for it. And you know, we get funding specific to things that we hunt and fish, but it's difficult to attain funding for some of those other watchable wildlife type activities. So that was something that Bob understood and has sort of developed a pathway for us on.
So a couple of things that are actually with bear Bob Mace's name that come together here, Linda, because there's the Bob and Phyllis Fund name for both your parents, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't we talk about that first, and we can talk about the area that bears his name as well.
Well, the fund that you're referring to, I think, is with Oregon Community Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
He left a 165-acre piece of property that is actually going to be mined out. It's an aggregate resource right on the Rogue River across from Lower Table Rock. And he set up a fund with Oregon Community Foundation for some of the proceeds from the mining would go into this fund, and then the fund would be used to develop this area as well as some things that he does set up out at the expo and such.
Okay. So is the mining still going on? Is the removal of aggregate still going on?
Actually, it has not begun.
Oh.
So we're looking down the road quite a few years before the recreation area will be available. But we're putting in place right now, reclaiming the riverbank area, and then we'll be developing that as it's mined out. There will be a huge lake there and trails and all sorts of opportunities.
And is Oregon Fish and Wildlife one of the agencies involved in putting all this together?
Correct. So Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife will take ownership of that 165 acres that Linda was talking about. We've already made the agreement that that'll be part of our local wildlife management area, a separate campus, if you will, from the Denman Wildlife Area. It'll be the Bob and Phyllis Mace, the Mace Family Watchable Wildlife Area. Will be quite an opportunity for us. That property is situated on the banks of the Rogue River, what we call High Bank, which is that escarpment directly across from Lower Table Rock.
On the other side of the river.
And it's on the south bank of the river across from Lower Table Rock. It's about halfway between Tuvel State Park and the old Gold Ray Dam site. And it's perfectly situated in a very unique and interesting stretch of the Rogue River there. And, of course, that stretch of the river was locked up by Gold Ray Dam, essentially, in terms of floating through. There was no ability to float through that. With the removal of Gold Ray, that is very much a destination viewing, angling, nature escape sort of reach of the river. So the Mace Family Watchable Wildlife Area, situated right in the middle of that, with road access coming into it and the opportunities to manage the lake after the mines were claimed, as well as the more natural areas of what we call High Banks Bottom, which is a very unique old-growth cottonwood gallery along the bank of the river there, where we've recently done some restoration work. It also has Whetstone Creek running through the property on the other side. And so those are sort of watchable wildlife theme areas for the future, and then an opportunity for a large 140-acre approximately standing water body that will manage for recreational activities, angling, as well as other types of boating.
We're talking to Russ Stauff from the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, ODFW. He's the Rogue Watershed Manager, and Linda Marr is with us as well from Rogue Fly Fishers, and she's the daughter of Bob and Phyllis Mace. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about this project along the Rogue River, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, same number, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. When you mentioned Whetstone Creek, this is Whetstone with an H, right?
Correct.
Okay. Which brings up the question then, there must be some interesting challenges for managing for fish and wildlife values in that area, because there is some industry there already. I think of the Whetstone Industrial Park, for example. Mm-hmm. Things not very far away on that south side of the Rogue River, and then you've got this area to be mined for gravel, it sounds like, as well. So, I mean, there must be some interesting challenges in trying to make sure that you're working up to great values for wildlife and fish, and yet trying to work around industrial operations as well.
There are. In fact, I think that's something that Bob and Phyllis Mace fully understood. They understood that the highest economic value of that property out there was aggregate mining. And so that's why they've set up the trust fund through Oregon Community Foundation that Linda oversees. And they understood that that would be the best use of the property to gain financial gain so that you could manage for watchable wildlife in perpetuity. They also understood that the partnership between industry that you could have and develop the understanding of a positive role for industry in wildlife management and reclamation of properties and the future pathway for some of that activity was something that needed to be understood and developed. And then, of course, there are a range of things that we have to manage around out there, and we currently do with the existing Denman Wildlife Management Area. And I think it's an opportunity for us to showcase the ability to have cooperative approaches to those sorts of issues, as well as a tremendous opportunity in conjunction with the Table Rocks and those other properties that are proximal to the site to manage for a natural area on a valley floor setting close to an urban community. That's really a unique opportunity. Generally, to find wild places, we have to travel outside of our dwellings and, you know, in our communities for some distance. And most of those habitats associated with those valley floor and local things are lost. So oak woodlands, vernal pool habitats, large river riparian. That's something that's very much diminished in the American West. And we can very much showcase at that property. So it's a tremendous opportunity.
The area you're talking about, the Denman Wildlife Area, very close to the right next door, essentially, to the ODFW headquarters for Southern Oregon, between Medford and the Rogue River. Was that once an area used for some economic purpose as well? Was there some sort of extractive industry that led to the creation of the Denman area too?
Well, most of the Denman area was part of Camp White, so the military camp right out there for World War II. And then the state of Oregon acquired that through a surplus sale from the Department of Military in the 1950s. Part of the property, we have a few campuses already, and part of it was an old farm site. So we haven't had a lot of industrial development on the wildlife area, although a lot of manipulation due to ag and other things. But we do sit right in a setting with a lot of other economic activities and industrial activities around us.
Linda Marr, I think I jumped ahead a little bit in my thinking here, because I just assumed that next to the river it's going to be an aggregate, and I think you did say aggregate. I said gravel. Is it necessarily going to be generally pretty small rock, river-type rock that's pulled out of there?
Yes, it's river rock, that they crush.
And for how long will the operation go on before that? I mean, because you're talking about, 165 acres and a fair amount of work, and then after that it's going to be...
It's driven by the economy, and it could be 5 years, but probably about 40. So it's going to be a while.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call. We have Ann and Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Linda Marr and Russ Stauff. We're talking about watchable wildlife along the Rogue River.
Thank you. An example of what can be done with old aggregate beds, right here in Eugene, we have the Delta Ponds complex. I don't know if either of your people are familiar with that, but it is just a wonderful thing to have here. The gravel was mined, I think it was back in the 50s. The city ended up buying the land, and so it's practically in the heart of the city, and the herons and the ducks and the cormorants and osprey and all these sort of things. I've even seen otters and muskrat there besides, there's beaver work all the time. Anyway, that's just an example of what can be done with these old gravel beds. Thank you.
Thanks for the example, Ann. I appreciate it. Russ, you're nodding like you understood the project.
I am familiar with the Delta Ponds, and I think the caller makes a great point. There's many examples of just beautiful habitat on reclaimed aggregate sites, mine sites. And one of the visions I developed when I tried to interpret what Bob and Phyllis Mace were envisioning for the future and working with Linda, I sometimes when I'm on the road, I'll read English fly fishing magazines. And in the UK, they fish a lot of still water, standing water, lakes and reservoirs. And I realized that as I looked at these beautifully landscaped, managed sites that people are fishing, most of them in Scotland and England are reclaimed quarry sites for gravel sites. And so to be clear, the site out there at the Rogue River, even though it's right on the bank of the Rogue River, it's an upland site on the escarpment of High Bank. So it's actually not river-associated mining, but it's gravel extracted from above the floodplain. So it's not a river-associated activity, but it is right next to the river, which is really the best of all worlds.
Which then I think addresses a question that I was moving on to next, because I'm sure the conservationists in the audience are saying, God, what's this going to do to the fish in the river? And it sounds like the answer is nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, we've moved away from river gravel extraction in Oregon and generally throughout the West. And occasionally we do floodplain extraction, which has its own ecological problems and issues. But you often have a hard time finding aggregate outside of those sites. This is an incredible example of an upland site for aggregate that's not riparian or river associated or floodplain associated even. But the property, when it's reclaimed and managed by the state for the public, will have this tremendous range of opportunities, from a beautiful 140-acre lake for angling and boating opportunities, river opportunities, Whetstone Creek interpretive opportunities.
140-acre lake, really?
In that range, it could be. We may roll a small adjoining property into it that's also zoned for aggregate removal, and it wouldn't make sense to have two separate ponds with 100-foot boundary between them. So we're working with an adjacent landowner to possibly enlarge the site.
Just from my own memory, it seems like there's not a great deal of distance between the area we're talking about here and Amy's Kitchen, for example, the food factory, and then there's another aggregate operation a bit off to the west, isn't there?
There's a couple other aggregate operations in that area, and Knife River now owns the mineral rights to the Mace property out there. They also own the 40 acres adjacent to it that we're talking about potentially combining the ownerships. There's a couple other small ones in that area. And then upstream, the Whetstone Creek actually runs through the existing Denman Wildlife Management Area. And one of the things that, that Bob and Phyllis were interested in was connecting a greenway from the existing wildlife management area down to what will be the Mace Family Watchable Wildlife Area. And there's an old one-room schoolhouse you can see when you drive Table Rock right there where it crosses Table Rock Avenue, right there where it crosses Whetstone Creek. There's the remaining foundation of a one-room schoolhouse that Bob went to school in. Mm-hmm. And he'd tell the story about going to school there and riding a horse there and his vision that we could potentially connect down Whetstone Creek with a greenway. And it's very doable in the sense that that property where Amy's Kitchen is and businesses like Amy's Kitchen may have an interest in participating in something like a greenway. It's also owned by the city of Medford in terms of their industrial park overall. So it may be there may be some solutions to developing a pathway there.
So, Linda, it sounds like your father's ties in the region go way, way back. I mean, is the family home somewhere on that property that we're talking about turning into a mine now?
It's adjacent to the property, mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it was my grandfather, and I believe it was 1917, homesteaded all of the property. And then he divided it in half, and an aggregate operation took half of it, and then kept the other half in the property, and that went to my mom and dad, and now we're turning it over.
So what's the soonest that there will be, and we mentioned about probably 40 years it'll be used for aggregate operation, but is it already being used for that now? Has it started yet?
No. We anticipate it's going to start very shortly, but it has not begun. There's a scale house there, and it's all ready. They're going to be actually just pulling out the gravel, and then they'll be crushing it elsewhere. And so it's not going to impact the area if we're doing any sorts of work there to as great an extent as if they were actually processing.
Linda Morrow is with Rogue Fly Fisher. She's the daughter of Bob Mace. We're talking about the Mace family. Russ Stauff is with Oregon Fish and Wildlife. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org or check us out on Facebook and you can see a picture of our guests from just a few moments ago. I had a question, Russ, about it seems like that particular part of the Rogue River certainly is the focus of a lot of attention right now. Not just because Gold Ray Dam came out, but also the Bureau of Land Management seems to be trying to establish areas of critical environmental concern around the Table Rocks themselves. So is there a bit of a bumping into each other of the federal and state agencies in trying to get things protected and enhanced there?
Not so much a bumping into, Jeffrey, as much as a cooperative effort there. So we're developing a vision of that reach of the river, including the Table Rocks, that's a little more comprehensive. Mm-hmm. So if you go out and float on the Rogue River up here, like I did when I moved here from Gold Beach, where I was the fish biologist for 10 years, you notice that a lot of areas in the Rogue are very developed. If you get up in the Shady Cove Reach, you know, there's a lot of home sites, very, very intensively developed. That reach of the river from just upstream of Tuvale State Park down through the old Gold Ray site, about 8 or 9 miles of it, there's really only two homes on the river, and you've got the Table Rocks there. And Lower Table Rock is, after Crater Lake, listed by Travel Oregon as the most visited site in southwest Oregon. And so you've got a range of opportunities there. You've got the Nature Conservancy owns property in conjunction with the BLM. There's a bunch of undeveloped state property in that reach of the river that we can focus on with Jackson County, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and Oregon State Parks. And the Mace property sits right in the middle of that. So tremendous opportunity.
So help me understand again, there is an existing watchable wildlife area, and then this other aggregate operation will become another watchable wildlife area way down the road?
Not so much. The property, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife has agreed to take ownership of the 165-acre Mace property out there on the river. We're currently managing some elements of that won't be involved in the mine. So the High Banks Bottom piece, that's the riparian area along the Rogue River, as well as the reach of Whetstone Creek that runs through the property. So we're doing some watchable wildlife restoration activities, and that's what most recently was a grant awarded by OCF that was handled by Rogue Fly Fishers. So those areas we're managing, but they're really part of the single property.
We have an email here from Shane in Ashland. He wants our guests to comment on the LNG pipeline. Is there any discussion of it going through this area?
No, the LNG pipeline is no connection to this property or this stretch of the Rogue River.
All right. I know that it will cross the Rogue River at some point if, in fact, it is built, but there's a big question about that.
And we should point out that the Bob and Phyllis Mays made three gifts to Oregon, including this property is one of them. And in addition to this property, they bequeathed $1.5 million to Oregon State University to establish a chair of watchable wildlife within the School of Wildlife and Fisheries Science. And in addition to that, that 1.5 funds a undergraduate scholarship program in perpetuity at Oregon State University. So that's a very important program and meaningful program at Oregon State University. They also gave $1.2 million to Jackson County to develop the Phyllis Mays Memorial Watchable Wildlife Center there at the Expo. And so if you've been to the fair or to any of the activities at Jackson County Expo, the nice new building, there's the Phyllis Mays Memorial Watchable Wildlife Area. Phyllis Mays Memorial Watchable Wildlife Area, sorry. And inside, you can see that we've, working with Linda, we've put some of the Mays family story together in that building interpretively. So visitors to that building can see it there as well.
Part of the Mays family story should be how they give away millions of dollars working on a wildlife biologist's salary. Must have been a little family money back there, I'm thinking.
Thank you so much for that question. That's been asked before. And my father was an excellent business person. He had a civil servant job, but he also...
And he had the foresight to buy chunks of property, obviously.
Exactly.
Yes, with
exactly.
Value.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. At the right time.
It sounds like he'd be proud of what's happening here.
He would. He would. While he was alive, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife was not able to acquire the land, and that was his dream. And after his death, the situation changed, and they were able to do that.
All right, Watchable Wildlife, more of it coming, courtesy of the Mace family. Linda Marr is the daughter of Bob Mace and with Rogue Fly Fishers. Thank you for joining us, Linda.
Thank you.
Russ Stauff is with Oregon Fish and Wildlife, ODFW. He's the Rogue Watershed Manager. Thank you, Russ, for joining us today.
Yep, thank you, Jeffrey.
Good to have you both here.